There we go. Right on time. Drew Justad,
hello, everyone. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily. Drew Justad just waiting for the, you know, the 30, where it is the daily version of Make Me Smart, where the engineers are in charge and Kai and I just have to sit here with the unenviable job of trying to make today make sense.
Sometimes
I choose engineer
for the ride.
I would like to switch jobs.
All right, so yes. So this is not the Tuesday big show. It's not the Wednesday. What do you want to know? It's the Thursday before Friday when I get to have beer show, which is to say it's a standard daily show. We're going to do a little newsy item. We're going to do a little make me smile item. And then we will send all y'all on your merry ways. How about that?
Exactly.
How about that?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
All right.
You've got
you got
two. Pick one. All right. Am I going first? All right.
They're the same. Yeah. You go first. You're first in the line.
Oh, they're the same? Okay. All right. Okay. So here's the thing. And this actually came out yesterday, but we were doing What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. I think this is totally fascinating and speaks to a lot of things. The price of oil, as you know, is extremely low, although it has ticked up in recent like 10 days, 2 weeks. In recent fortnights. How about that? That's the time period, not the game, for those of you who, you know, are Fortniners. Anyway,
we're doing great.
Today.
You're doing great.
Might be a little low blood sugar. I don't know. Anyway, oil prices are crazy low and storage is at a premium. We covered the whole, you know, negative oil prices thing a number of weeks ago. So what's happening now, and I think this is so interesting, is that tanker ships are leaving port loaded with oil, specifically in the Persian Gulf, right? And instead of taking the human-engineered shortcut up the Suez Canal, which cuts so much time off the transit time, right? Mm-hmm. They're going down south around the Cape of Good Hope and the tip of Africa and going up the west side of Africa to their European ports. And they're doing it for two reasons. Number one, they can, because oil is so cheap, it's not a big deal to spend the bunker fuel. And also it lets them save the really steep fees on Suez Canal transits. But also, and this is the really interesting part, they don't have to take payment for their cargo until they actually land. And they're hoping by taking literally the slow boat to Europe that they can get higher prices. And I just think that's so interesting. So interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Markets, despite occasionally being soul-sucking and baffling, can also be kind of fascinating. Like in the way that they just find a way. Like, you know what? We're just going to take our time. Maybe everything will be fixed by the time we get there.
That's right. That's the bet they're making. So how about that? That's my little indicator of what's going on, you know?
That's kind of great. I would also like to get on a slow boat and sail around for a long time and then hope to
throw my phone in the ocean and just be alone with me.
Just hope that by the time I get back, everything is fixed. You can do that, right, everybody?
Right.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's true.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so this is where I should confess that technically these aren't the same story. I'm a stone cold liar.
I knew it.
But they kind of are the same story.
Okay.
So, because the one leads to the other. Today, just as an example, there was a story in The Guardian about how Amazon has apparently canceled the policy that allowed unlimited unpaid time off for workers to deal with coronavirus-related issues. Workers in warehouses in the Inland Empire, which is outside of where you live, outside L.A., apparently, because of the end of that policy, workers are now saying, okay, well, we feel that we have to go to work even if we're sick. And we're concerned that this reversal will result in more outbreaks of COVID-19 in Amazon warehouses. Amazon employees also shared emails showing that Amazon has dismissed some paid sick leave requests by claiming that a California law that says you have to give supplemental sick leave during the pandemic does not apply to the warehouses.
Wow.
So, I bring this up because there have been all kinds of, obviously, warehouse-related illnesses. You've had the ongoing meatpacking plant stories. Amazon workers just keep basically walking out and then getting fired and so on and so forth. And so I just, because I don't want to be one of those people who sits and criticizes all the time when then, you know, that causes people to come back and say, what are people supposed to do? This is like a really hard problem to solve. There's no way we could have kept our economy going or like paid people's payroll. to keep them on the books for a couple more months while we crush the curve. I would like to point you to this Wall Street Journal story about Germany, where when the rest of Europe's economy shut down in mid-March and over here, everybody in warehouses got sick because there's simply nothing you can do. Germany was like, oh, so, okay, what we need to do here is get a bunch of face masks for everyone and then create some social distancing in the factories. We should probably do like some testing and mandate strict safety rules. And then what we can do is go ahead and keep 80% of our factories open so that when we really are able to fully reopen, our economic recovery won't take so long and won't be so dramatic. And okay, great. So good plan. Let's do that. And they did.
You know what's amazing about this whole freaking thing is what we know what to do. We're choosing not to do it.
Yep. Like,
we're choosing not to do it. Yeah.
That is what I want to make super clear.
Yep. Yep.
We are the richest nation in the world. Did you see the McSweeney's thing that was going around today? I'm doing that thing I do to our producers all the time where I bring up a thing that I haven't given them a link to, but I will. McSweeney's, the satirical, hilarious writing website, put out a thing that was basically like, Jurassic Park is expected to reopen even though the velociraptors are still on the loose. Which is brilliant.
Yeah, totally.
And
for sure.
Basically exactly what is happening. Like, we could have done it this way. We are choosing to do it this way. And as a result, bad things are happening that didn't necessarily have to. So in a way, I just wanted to point you to a positive alternative that could have, that could and maybe still could occur if people would just maybe do that instead.
Yeah.
Still could. Keep hope alive, people. Keep hope alive.
Yep. It's So I don't know that I've said this on this podcast, but I'm in my spare time. I used to be a soccer referee, right? And I would do, you know, 18 and 19 year old boys games and girls games and then high schools. And the head referee guy in my region or my neighborhood, he has this thing he says, and it goes like this. Because if you run afoul of Scott Davis, you're a dead man. And he says, read the rules, do it like that. Right? I mean, we've got rules. We know what to do. Read the rules. Do it like that.
We literally know what to do. And instead, we are making information about the rules disappear.
Yep.
I posted earlier a link to one of my absolute favorite Simpsons episodes of all time, where an asteroid comes and strikes Springfield and causes all this damage. And it's like a hole, and they're afraid it's going to come. And so everything descends into chaos and so on and so forth. And then at the end of the episode, they're like, whew, that was close. We got to make sure that never happens again. Let's go burn down the observatory.
Yeah.
Little on the nose, Simpsons. Little on the nose.
A little bit.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
Shall we move
smile
on?
Time?
Mm-hmm. Let us smile.
Play that shall funky we? Music.
There we go. Drew's paying attention. I'm going to go first because mine's a super quickie and it's only a little bit of a smiley thing. And I'm highlighting this for the headline only. There was a piece in the New York Times a couple of days ago that's the headline of the piece was nearly half of men say they do most of the homeschooling. 3% of women agree. And I just, men are such morons. We are such idiots. It's stunning to me. It is stunning, stunning, stunning. And look, the underlying story about how women are, in fact, doing virtually all the homeschooling in dual parent working households working from home with school-aged children is a serious deal, right? But that headline is like, man, guys, just stop talking. Stop talking. That's it. That's all
I'm so
I got.
Glad you brought that up because that headline made me laugh. And still is. Like, it made me laugh so.
That's awesome.
Whew.
Yeah.
Literally, this is why I am so happy that we do the show every day, because I'm having like a little bit of emotional release hysteria right now, like total crack up.
It's like you said the other day. We have some place to put it. So it's good. This is where we're putting it.
3% of women. That was great.
Oh, my goodness. All right. What do you
meanwhile, got? One of the like biggest public health stories in our modern times just like cruised on by earlier this week, where when scientists reported that pretty much they fixed malaria.
Oh, is that right? Like, wow. Oh, my God. Totally missed that.
Scientists have discovered a microbe that completely protects mosquitoes from being infected with malaria. Period. Wow. They could not find, they discovered this microbe. They could not find a single mosquito carrying the malaria, the thing that harbors the malaria parasite. They were like, yeah, no, this is like a huge deal. A super big breakthrough that could save the lives of 400,000 people every year, most of them children under the age of five. I know. So
that's great. That's
yay for that.
Yep. So we'll take that for a win for society. There you go.
Yeah. Good. I'm taking all the wins we can get, man.
All of them.
And that's it.
All
of them. Wow, that was like an efficient show.
But, it's...
We don't have to go on and on, and we're not going to, because I think Kai's internet just dropped out. Oh, you're back.
Oh, did I? Did I really? Oh, that's so funny.
You went away.
Wow. Well, I'm back
now. Hello again.
You know what's really funny is I just looked over at the tape recording that I was supposed to keep of all my recording sessions that I do here, and I had not turned on the tape deck. So, you know, we're going to deal with what we got.
Well, the good news is it'll make me saying that make so much more sense. Nobody will be confused about why you're still talking. Wow. Yeah.
Terrible. All right. Well, let me do this, and let's get the heck out of here so it doesn't happen again. Couple of things. Uh-huh. Number one, we're done for the day, but we're not gone forever. We've got explainers on our smart speakers. Tell that Echo device on your kitchen countertop or in your bedroom or whatever, make me smart. And today, Molly's on there talking about student loan debt. Tomorrow, we are back here, by the way, for Happy Hour.
And as if Happy Hour was not special enough, the moment when we crawl out of the hallowed little shell that is our souls and have a beer together, tomorrow you get to have a beer with us. We're going live. Get your mocktails, get your Mexicokes, get your beers, get your rosé. It's like frosé season in some parts of the country, and then apparently they're having a snowstorm in the Northeast. So like get your hot toddies, whatever you want to do. It's going to be live and in person on the internet on YouTube. If you go to our show page, you'll find a link to that. I think if you subscribe, I'm probably going to get real-time Slackage. I think if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you may get an alert even.
Yeah, Ben said it today.
Anyway.
There's Ben with the real-time Slackage.
Going to be great. It's only a matter of time before we figure out chat is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Real chat.
Which would be cool.
We'll see. But you know what? I'm not going to jump ahead. I'm not going to borrow trouble. We already have enough. This is going to be awesome. See you tomorrow. And in the meantime, of course, keep the feedback and questions coming in. MakeMeSmart at marketplace.org is our email address. Subject line questions. If you have questions, anything else, I don't know. Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow. Yeah. Literally. See you tomorrow.
We're done. Yeah. Well, they're going to see
I washed my hair today.
Although you and I will see each other tomorrow, which is always weird. What?
I know. That's going to be so weird. When we tested it, we were like, uh-oh. Is right there.
I'm not sure I love it.
Huh. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We can just, right, you know what? I'm going to hide you behind the rundown anyway. Okay. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson.
I'm going to take the first paragraph.
Oh, okay. Go.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote produces video with the help of our intern, Ethan Parrott. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and our smart speaker explainers. I just wanted to do that.
Today's program was engineered by Drew Josted. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. And the senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. That felt weird.
I know. It occurred to me the other day that it was getting a little rote.
We should mix it up.
I'd shake it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
There you go. See? Innovation, baby, right there. That's what that was.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.